Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Does God have a sense of humor? The Bible certainly seems serious. We certainly read it in a serious way, and that culture was kind of different from ours, and we might not recognize humor in the Bible if we saw it, but I think the story of Naaman is meant to be read with a sense of humor. Now, the skin disease that they called leprosy certainly was not a joke. In Israel, leprosy meant you were treated as unclean, and that led to their people with leprosy being excluded from society, to being isolated. That's in Israel. And this story doesn't take place in Israel. It takes place in Aram. Aram, the country that we now call Syria, by the way, was an enemy of Israel. The army had killed King Ahab in battle, the father of the present king of Israel. The story is not set in Israel. The main character of the story is from Aram. This main character is Naaman, the commander of the army of Aram, and he is a powerful man. He's won a great victory, and yet he is incapacitated by leprosy, by this disease that anyone who had it was desperate for healing. Ironically, Naaman is a great man, but his healing comes about through a person of no power at all. His healing comes about through this captured Israelite girl who is now a slave of Naaman's wife. And the slave girl tells about a possible cure. She says, well, if only my Lord could go to this prophet in Samaria, he would surely cure him of leprosy. Naaman hears about it and decides this possible cure is definitely worth pursuing. And so he asks his king for permission to go to the healer. And King of Aram says, sure, go. Here's a letter of introduction to the king of Israel. And I've got to laugh at this letter and the response it gets, because this powerful king of Aram, who recently won a great victory over Israel, he writes to the king of Israel and says, well, here is Naaman. He defeated you recently. Cure him. What would you do if you received a letter like that? Well, king of Israel, of course, he freaks out. What? How am I supposed to do that? Healing's not my job at all. And he's my powerful enemy. What is he going to do to me if I don't heal him? King of Israel has completely forgotten that the prophet Elisha has been healing people right and left. And so this story, I think, pokes fun at both of the kings. It pokes fun at the king of Aram with his arrogance and at the incompetence of the king of Israel. I think the humor continues when Naaman eventually gets to the prophet Elisha, because Elisha doesn't behave like you might expect he would. He doesn't bow down and kind of grovel in the face of this powerful person. Instead, he appears to treat Naaman quite cavalierly, doesn't even go out to meet him. He's not hospitable at all. And Naaman flies into a rage. How dare he? He was supposed to heal me. He was supposed to work some magic on me, but he just told me to go wash in some podunk river. Now the story is poking fun at Naaman and at his lofty expectations. And once again, it's the servants who rescue Naaman, who talk some sense into him. They say, you know, you shouldn't refuse a cure simply because it's easy. A pill isn't any more effective because it tastes bad. And eventually, Naaman gets it. And so he goes to the River Jordan, and he dunks himself in. He immerses himself 7 times. And he is made clean. He's healed. Good ending for the story, huh? story keeps on going because Naaman, this military commander of the Arameans, the commander of the enemy, I want to make sure you get that point, Naaman goes back to the prophet and he makes a confession of faith. And he says, there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, who is the joke on? Because the king of Israel has not confessed that himself. We're told that he has done what is evil in the sight of the Lord. He has worshipped idols. The military commander of the enemy has decided to worship the God of Israel. Who is the righteous one here? Well, the reader begins to have some suspicions. Is the God of Israel really the God only of Israel? Well, look back to the beginning of our passage today. We're told that by Naaman, the Lord had given victory to Aram. By Naaman, the Lord brought victory to the enemy. God seems to be active on behalf of a number of nations, not just Israel. And I think this has got to be hard for the chosen people to hear. What does it mean if God helps people of other nations? Are they as special as the people of Israel? I think we have to ask ourselves the same question too. Here we are soon after July 4th, and maybe you had a chance to hear some performances of God Bless America. And I know that when Christians say this, that we don't mean that God would never bless another nation. We know that we don't have exclusive rights to God. In South Africa, when the people sing their national song, Sikelele Africa, that means God bless Africa. They believe God is blessing their nation. And I think that as this story tweaks the people of Israel in a humorous way, that it's challenging them to think that maybe, just maybe, God is God of the whole world. And it invites us to remember the same thing. Maybe, maybe God is God of the whole world. God does bless people of many nations. God blesses them with natural beauty. Hopefully, God blesses them with abundant crops, with joy and love and faith, with skills. And God blesses them also with needs. And when we ask for God's blessing on a country, whether that is America or South Africa or elsewhere, it doesn't mean that we have God on a leash. It doesn't mean that we control God's blessings. God can show a sense of humor. It reminds us that even our enemies may receive God's blessings at times. God chose Israel for service to the nations. And if God blesses us, then we too are being chosen and blessed for service as well. We are being blessed to be agents of healing for the world. The real heroes of this story of Naaman are the minor characters, the slave girl, the servants, those who bring about Naaman's transformation. They are the ones who bring about his cure and his conversion through their acts of witnessing. These are the agents of healing and of blessing, no matter what country they are from. God blesses us. And as Tiny Tim said in A Christmas Carol, God bless us, everyone. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.